Okay, we're beginning here by the two dots on the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, V'noeg b'bakaru b'tzon, that it has application both by cattle and by flock animals. V'imitasvim mizeh alzeh, you can't take maser behema off between cattle and flock animals. They're separate entities with regards to maser behema, bakar, and tzon. But basimu v'zim, between goats and sheep, there we don't have that issue, and you can merge them in order to have the numbers you need or the flocks you need in order to reach the Maaser Behema. Mar says, V'yu chadash v'yashan mitasrim mizeh zeh mikal v'chomer. Now, chadash and yashan relates to when the animal was born in the Maaser year. Rosh Chodesh Elul, Aleph Elul, is Rosh Hashanah, the Maaser Behema. So those animals born before Rosh Chodesh Elul, before the first of Elul, would be classified as being yashan, the older flock, and the ones that are born after Rosh Chodesh Elul would be considered to be the Chadash. And so the Mishnah says that you cannot mix and match those. They are separate in terms of their Maaser Behema. They have separate years. So it says, V'yu Chadash V'yashem Mitasrim Mizeh Zeh Mikav V'chomer. It should be allowed to be joined together to create a single corral of animals for Maaser Behema because of a Kav V'chomer. Mak Vatsim V'yizim Shem Gil'ayim Zeh B'zeh. Comes to Kvasim Nizim, if you crossbreed them, they're a problem of Kilayim. Yet, Mitasrim Mizel Zeh. Nevertheless, we allow you to combine them into a single corral for Maaser Behema. Kadash V'yashan, Shein Kilayim Zeh B'zeh. Here, where it's just a difference in the year that they're born, but there's no physical difference, there's no species difference between them, so there's no Kilayim. Ein Udin, Shitasrim Mizel Zeh. Certainly, they should be able to be put together in the corral and have Maaser Behema taken off of them together. Tamad Omar, Aser Taser, the duplication of the Lashon, V'shtei Masrot HaKatub Medaber. Torah is speaking about two different types of Maser. Achad Maser Behema, V'achad Maser Dagan. To tell you that there's some Hekesh, there's some correlation between Maser Behema and Maser Dagan, the Maser is taken off of the grains. Umekish Maser Behema, the Maser Dagan. So that Hekesh teaches you that we're going to take or learn something from Maser Dagan to Maser Behema. Ma Maaser Dagan, Mikadash Aliyashan, though. Just like by Maaser Dagan, the years are separate. If something is in the given year of the Maaser year for Dagan, it cannot be combined with something from the previous year in terms of Hafashat, Tumot, and Masrot. Af Maaser Behema, Mikadash Aliyashan, though. So too, by Maaser Behema, the difference in years is something that makes them unable to be combined into a single corral. Just like by Maaser Dagan, Rosh Hashanah is the cutoff. Whatever was before Rosh Hashanah belongs to the previous year. Whatever was after Rosh Hashanah belongs to the next year. So the by Maaser Behema, over the threshold of Elul Aleph, will have the same din, which is that they are completely separate. They cannot be combined to create a single corral. It says, Yochik, Vasim V'zim Nami. If you're already telling me that you can't combine items, then say the same thing by Kvasim and Izim. Same thing by goats and sheep. Lema, Mekish, Maaser Behema, the Maaser Dagan. Use the same Hekesh you just used. With Maaser Behema to Maaser Dagan, you can do the same thing with regards to different species. Ma Maaser Dagan, Mimin, Hashemen, Mino, Lo. Just like by Maaser Dagan, you can't combine different species in order to bring Trumot to Maasrot. Av Maaser Behema, Mimin, Hashemen, Mino, Lo. So to over here, by Maaser Behema, you shouldn't be able to combine the different species in order to make it into a single Maaser Behema, a single corral for Maaser Behema. It says, Rabbi Rachmana, tzon. The Torah used the extra word of tzon that teaches you that all the tzon are echad, that they're a single entity. So even though they, kvasim and izim, are really separate species, since it turned them in the dinim of Maaser Behema as tzon, it combines them through that word to tell you all tzon are considered a single entity or single corral for Maaser Behema. Where it says, Yochi, Kadash, V'yashan, Nami. But then you could do the same thing with regards to Chadash V'yashan and say, they should also be combined. Aktiv Aser Taser. There you have the Hekesh to tell you, it's like Maaser Dagan, you keep them separate. Marsez Umaraita. How do you know which one to include, which one to exclude? How do you know Kvasim and Izim, you should be able to combine the different species to create a single corral? And how do you know by Chadash V'yashan that you keep those separate and you can't combine them into a single corral? Amarava Amargra. Shana, shana. So in Aser Taser in the Pasuk, it says there, Hayutzei Asadeh, shana, shana. L'shana ikishtiv, v'lo davar acher. The only thing that the Hekesh exists for is timing, is their year. So the Hekesh is qualified by the latter part of the pasuk that says that Yotzei Shedesh Shana Shana, to tell you that if it's this Shana, does it comply with the other Shana? If you go over the threshold by Meiser Gan of Rosh Hashanah of Aleph Tishrei, then they cannot be combined. And that Hekesh then works with Meiser Be'ema, because there it's Aser Taser, that combination about the year, there is a Hekesh. So there you have limited ability to combine them, and therefore by Meiser Be'ema, Chadash V'Yashan cannot be combined. The other hand, with regards to Kvasim and Izim, that already the word Tzom combines, and that's not governed by this Hekesh, because Hekesh is only about time, it's not about species. So now Gemara says, Tanan Hatam, Mishnah in Trumot, Ein Tormim, Mimin Al She'enu Mino. So basically the Gemara is asking, how do you know that you can't combine species with regards to Trumot and Masrot? As far as the issue of separating out the years, there the Gemara already gave you the source for that, because it says, Ayutzeh Sadeh, Shana, Shana. That tells you that the years have to be kept separate. How do I know that the actual species also have to be kept separate with regards to Maser Dagan? Gemara, in essence, is just testing out what are the sources that we used before. We have assumptions by Maser Dagan that this is the following rules. Rules are you can't combine years, and the rules are you can't combine species. Combining years, we already learned, or we already indicated through a Yotzei Sadeh Shana Shana. Where's the source, or what's the reason you can't combine species? So it says here that you're not allowed to bring two species together in terms of Trumot and Masrot. Bim taram, ein trumato truma. If you do it, it doesn't work. Minahane mile. Where do we know this from? So it's either Amar Rabbi Yami, Amar Rabbi Yanai, v'amri lo. And some say it's Amar Rabbi Yami, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Kol chelev yitzar, v'chol chelev tirosh, v'dagan. That's found in Parsha Korach with regards to the matnot kihuna. Over there it says with regards to the Trumot, Kochelev Yitzhar, Kochelev Tirosh Vidagan, Reshitam, Ashay Nul Hashem, Lecha Netatim. Those first of those items, which is Truma, will be given to you. So over there it lists, Chelev Yitzhar, Kochelev Tirosh. The word Chelev appears twice. Once in front of Yitzhar, once in front of Tirosh. Yitzhar is a reference to olives or olive oil. Tirosh is a reference to grapes or to grape juice wine. Vidagan, and then you have the grains. Amra Torah ten chelev lezeh v'chelev lezeh. It's saying the fact that it turned a chelev, chelev is the fats, but also means that which you're going to give, the best of which you're going to give. So there it says separately the chelev yitzhar and the chelev tirosh to indicate that they are separate species, separate entities, and you can't combine them. It says that works well, ashkechan tirosh v'yitzhar. That works well when you're speaking about olives and grapes or olive oil and wine. Those you can't combine because there's a chelev by each of them. Tirosh vidagan. Dagan vidagan minayin. How do I know that that also has application by tirosh and dagan, let's say, wine and grains, because there's no word chelev by both of those, or two species of grains? How do I also know those can't be combined? Because there's only a chelev by yitzhar and tirosh, so the only things that seem to be have to be kept separate. How do you know all the other items have to be kept separate? The Gemara says, kavachomer. It's a logical argument. Ma tirosh v'yitzhar, she'enam kilayim ze b'zeh. When it comes to tirosh and yitzhar, they are not kilayim one with the other. It's not exactly true. There is no kilayim or kilei zra'im with trees. It means that if you plant trees near each other or you intersperse trees, there's no issue of kilayim. So you plant olives and a grapevine, there's no issue of kilayim. If you graft one onto the other, there is a problem of kilayim ilanot or harkavat ilanot. There is kilayim. But that's not the reference. The reference here is simply if you plant them together in the same field or the same area, there is no kilayim with regards to tirosh and yitzhar, with regards to wine and olive oil or olives and grapes. And nevertheless, you have to split them. Even though they are not kilayim with each other, ein mitrasim zel zeh, you're still not allowed to combine them for maser tirosh vidagan, dagan vidagan. When it comes to grapes and grains, or it comes to different types of grains, shem kilayim zeh b'zeh, which are kilayim one with the other, in udin shlo yitasru mizel zeh, then isn't it make sense that they shouldn't be combined in terms of masrot? So things that are closer, I'll call it in relationship, because they are not restricted by the Torah from being planted together, and yet, nevertheless, the Torah says when you take off Trumot and Masrot for them, you cannot combine them, you have to keep them separate. Then items which the Torah demands that you keep separate when you plant them because they are kilayim one with the other, then certainly the Torah is going to expect that you keep them separate when it comes to Trumot and Masrot. That is the Kav B'chomer that tells us not only is this true by Tirosh and Yitzhar, it's also true by Tirosh and Dagan, it's also true by Dagan V'Dagan. Kilayim is an indication of how different we think these items are. The closer they are in relationship or the familial status of these items, then the less likely you are to have a problem of kilayim. So if things that do not have kilayim, that means that they are closely or more closely related, nevertheless, the Torah still says when it comes to Trumot and Masrot, keep them separate, then items that have a din of kilayim, which is an indication that they're much more separate or different or differentiated, and certainly when it comes to Trumot and Masrot, the Torah is going to want you to keep them separated or differentiated because they're unique. They don't have any combining qualities because you can't bring them together. Now Rashi makes an interesting comment over here, which is he says that with regards to the Gan and the Tirosh, that's a problem of Kilaya Kerem, which is Mida Oraita. And the combination of different grains, the Gan and the Gan, is Kilay Zra'im. He says Mida Rabbanan. It's very strange that Rashi says it's Mida Rabbanan. Seemingly, and the Balei Tosafot take issue with Rashi and say, it's not a Din D'Rabbanan, it's a Din D'Oraita. And both problems of Kilayim here are Kilayim Midoraito, which is different types of Kilayim. One's Kilay Zra'im, which is Dagan V'Dagan, and one's Kilay Hakerim, which is Tirosh and Dagan. But both of them are Doraito. Rashi, for whatever reason, thinks that Kilay Zra'im over here of Dagan V'Dagan is only a problem Midorabanan, not a problem Midoraito. Rabbi Oshaya Damar, Aji Zra Chita V'Sora V'Chatzan Mipopolet Yad. Ushaya has a view that Kilei HaKerem only is Kilei HaKerem when you seed it together. And when you seed it together, you have to seed it in the following manner. You have to have chita, wheat, sora, barley, v'chatzan, and a grape seed, but mepolad yad, in a single throw, in a single planting of the seeds. That's how you create Kilei HaKerem. So first of all, Rabbi Yoshia's din comes from Lo Tisra Karmacha Kilayim. Don't plant your vineyard kilayim. So he says you can't put kilayim into your vineyard. That's the kind of the drusha that he uses. And from that, you learn that it's not enough to plant a grain together with a vineyard. You have to plant grains where they are kilayim or kilei zra'im together with kerem in order to get kilei kerem. That's the view of Rabbi Shayo, that you need all three of them put together in order to have kilei kerem midoraita. So given that, that means that there's no kilayim before that point in time. So the Balei Tosafot think that Chachamim or Rabbi Yonatan, who disagrees with Rabbi Oshaya's position in two areas. One is that you don't require kilayim to minei dagan to be planted with the chatzan in order for it to be kilei kerem. Even one min dagan with the chatzan would be considered kilei kerem. And the other area where they argue is that you don't need it to be mapolet yad. It doesn't have to be seeded together. Even if they just grow together, that would be enough. Although the Ramban seems to indicate that he thinks that they don't disagree on that point. And they also require mapolet yad in order for it to be a problem of kilei kerem. The only thing they disagree about is what you need to be in that mapolet yad in order for it to be kilei kerem. In essence, Rabbi Oshaya believes if you just put a kerem together with a single grain, you're not going to have kilei kerem. If that's the case, then how do you know from the Kal V'Chomer that you need to separate them for Trumot and Masrot? Because if they're not kilayim with each other, then the Kal V'Chomer doesn't work. The whole premise of the Kal V'Chomer is if you have kilayim, then certainly they should be separated. But over here, they're not kilayim with each other. That's the nature of the Gemara's question. So Tosafot claims that the question here is about Tirosh V'Dagan, because he says that Rabbi Oshaya believes that Dagan V'Dagan is a problem of Kilei Zra'im. But he doesn't necessarily have Kilei Zra'im by Dagan and Tirosh. And that's where the nature of the Gemara's question comes from, which is, by Dagan and Tirosh, by themselves, there is no din of Kilayim. Since there's no din of Kilayim, maybe there should be no din of separating out the Masrot. Now, the Balei Tosafot and Chulin seem to indicate otherwise, that when it comes to Zra'im or Dagan with Chatzan, that doesn't meet the standard of Oshaya, even though it's not Kilei Kerem, it still is Kilei Zra'im. And according to those Rishonim that believe that for Rabbi Oshaya, in order to get Malkot, you need two Minei Dagan and Chatzan. But to violate Kilei HaKerem, even if you put a single Dagan and a Chatzan together, it would be a violation of Kilei HaKerem. So it makes it very difficult to understand the nature of the Gemara's question over here, because you really have Kilayim for Rabbi Yoshaya in all these cases. So some want to suggest that maybe Rabbi Yoshaya subscribes also to the position of Rabbi Yehuda and Yushalmi, that Kilei Zraim also requires three different species and not just two. If you say that, then over here the question would be from Dagan Dagan, because over there that would not result in Kilayim, and that would be the nature of the Gemara's question, but it does make it very difficult, according to those Rishonim, to understand what the Gemara's issue is with Rabbi Yoshaya. Elam Kain, you believe that he thinks that when you plant a single grain together with the chartzan, that it's not considered to be asur, it's not considered to be Kilei Zraim, it's really considered to be no problem at all. Gemara says, the answer is, his Kavah Chumrah worked like this. Matirosh v'itzar, shenem kilayim zebzeh, afil yudei devar acher. By tirosh v'itzar, even if you add in a third item, they would not become kilayim, meaning that the tirosh v'itzar are not problematic to be planted next to each other. And if you threw in a third thing here, it still wouldn't make it problematic. Nevertheless, emis asrim mizel zeh, you could still can't take off two motor masrot, one on the other. Tirosh v'dagan, and dagan v'dagan, shen kilayim zebazeh, al yidei davar acher, that they are kilayim with each other, if you were to throw in one more item. If you threw in a grape seed together with the dagan v'dagan, or by the tirosh v'dagan, you threw in another dagan, it would make it into kilayim. So there, certainly, enu din shalei jesrum yizel zeh, they're closer to being a problem of kilayim with each other. Tirosh v'nitzar, even with the third item added there, are never going to reach kilayim gerim. The Tirosh and Itzar and then Dagan aren't going to get to Kilayim Kamer, Dabra Boshaya. So even with another item added, they won't get to the view of Kilayim, and yet you have to keep them separate. By the case of either Dagan Dagan, or Tirosh and Dagan, with the addition of either Dagan by Tirosh and Dagan, or Tirosh by Dagan by Dagan, there with the additional one more item, it's going to be Kilayim. So certainly you have to keep them separate in terms of their Trumot Umasrot. Umar says, Ushne Minim Ba'alma Minolon. Okay, you took care of Tirosh and Itzar. You took care of Tirosh and Dagan. You took care of Dagan and Dagan. What about any other two species that you're speaking about? Say, for instance, lentils and beans. What about those? It says, Hane derabonon inhu. Those are all midrabanan. Bechol takinu rabonon, kein doraita takinu. And anything that Rabbanan established in the pattern that they did it, they pandered it after the doraita that is the source for it. So first of all, this is supportive of the many of the Rishonim that believe that Min HaTorah, Trumot and Masrot, are only Chayavim, Midoraita, for Tirosh, Itzar, and Dagan, for those three items. That's for grapes, grape juice, wine, olives, olive oil, and Dagan, grains. Those are the only things that are Chayav, Midoraita, in Trumot and Masrot. That means for fruits or vegetables, those are all Midirabanan. This Gemara is heavily supportive of that contention. And that's what Rashi says over here, that all of this is midrabanan. It's only Dagan, Tirosh, and Itzar that are chayavim midoraita in Trumot and Masrot. The Gemara says, well, once you make everything else midrabanan, then first of all, of course, you're not going to find the source in the Torah, because it's only rabbinically obligated in Trumot and Masrot. You're not going to find the fact that they have to be separate. But what the Gemara says is, since the Rabbanan instituted it, they instituted it to match the Tirosh, Itzar, and Dagan, which have to be kept separate. So too, when they instituted it midrabanan by other species, they gave the same requirement that they have to be kept separate. And so, just like deoraita shnei minim emitzrim zeh zeh, we have two different species or two different types. You don't take off maser from one on the other. Derabananami. So too, the rabbanon, when they instituted the obligations here, they had the same requirements that you don't combine the different species. So know that there are dissenting opinions. But then the Rishonim, with regards to this, most Rishonim follow what we just said. There are Rishonim that believe that Perot Ha'ilan are also Midoraita, not just Dagan Tirosh V'Itzar. Everybody agrees, and the Gemara says it pretty explicitly, that Yerek, Trumot Masrot of Yerek, of vegetables, are clearly Midrabanan. The real question mark is around the fruit trees, whether they are Derabanan or Doraita. Our Gemara seems to favor heavily saying that they are Derabanan. But there are other Gemaras or other sources that seem maybe indicate that the Perot Ha'ilan would be a Din De'oraita, and that leads to a Machloket Rishonim as to whether Perot Ha'ilan are in the category of Doraita or Derabanan. So Amalei Rava Bar Chanan Le'avaye Elimiato. If that's your limud, Kabi Maisa Be'ma Loktiv. By Maisa Be'ma, where you don't have this separation of the items, you don't have this idea of Chelev, Chelev, in that by the case of Trumah, Tirosh, and Itzar, The reason you wanted to separate them from each other was because it said Chelev Pirosh, Chelev Yitzhar. So now we should have the same requirement with regards to Maser. It says, B'chol Masar Bakar Batzon, Kol Eshe Yavor Tachar HaShavet, Aitziri Yeh Kodesh LaShem. Over there it doesn't say Masar Bakar, Masar Tzon, which would then indicate you have to keep them separate. It only has one word, Masar. It says Masar Bakar Batzon. That seems to indicate that you would combine them together or be allowed to combine them together. So therefore, Yitasru Mizel Zeh, that would seem to indicate you could take one off of the other. Elam Akra, the pasuk says, Asiri Yakodesh LaShem. Tein Asiri Lezeh, Betein Asiri Lezeh. Simple way to read this is that the word Asiri is extraneous, and the word Asiri then means that each one of them gets an Asiri. It says, V'chol Basar Bakar Batzon, Kol Shev Tocha Dashavet, Ha'asiri, Kodesh Lashem. That Ha'asiri teaches you that there's an Asiri for the Bakar and an Asiri for the Tzon. Each one of them has their own corral for Maiser Beima. Rashi reads it a little differently, which is he says the word Ha'asiri is juxtaposed to the word Tzon, and therefore you don't need the word Masar. Masar is next to Bakar, and the word Asiri is next to the word Tzon. So now, Masar tells you that Maiser is separate for Bakar, and Atziri says that for Tzon it's separate. So each word is the defining word for them. So Tosafot just sees it as an extraneous word, which means that as if it's written Masar Bakar, Masar Tzon, that's what the Atziri teaches you. Rashi says, no, one of them is Basar Bakar, and then Tzon Atziri. Those are two different limudim, and each word is associated with one of them. But in either case, now you end up with them being separate. It says, Yoche, Kwasim, Izim, Nami. If that's the case, then why are goats and sheep allowed to be combined? If you're telling me that each one gets a separate din. For the Balei Tosafot, it's understandable why you would say this, because if you're putting an Asiri on the Bakar and an Asiri on the Tzon, then why does Tzon also? Why don't you say the same thing by Kwasim, Izim? For Rashi, it's a little harder to say that, because you have Masar by Bakar and Asiri by Tzon. It's two different limudim. And why would you then make the assumption that the Hasiri should also then apply to Kvasim V'Izim? So it's a little harder to understand when Rashi, how he progresses over here. And therefore, he says, just like before, we learned a Kal V'Chomer, make the same Kal V'Chomer over here. Just like Kadash V'Yashan can't be combined together, so too Kvasim V'Izim shouldn't be able to be combined together. Or in essence, what Rashi is saying is that this question is not related to what we just said now. It's going back in time and saying, wait, if Kadash V'Yashan can't be combined and they're not Kilayim, then it should be the same by Kvasim V'Izim. They can't be combined because they are Kilayim with each other. That's the way Rashi reads the question. On the other hand, Balei Tosafot read the question as simply being, if I have the word Asiri by Bakar and Asiri by the word Tzon, that means that every species goes separately, then why don't you apply the same thing to Kvasim V'Izim? My answer is V'Tzon. The Pasuk says V'Tzon, Mashma kol tzon echad, to teach you that all tzon are considered to be one entity. If you wanted to separate them, you should have written bakar, kvasim, and izim. The fact that you combine kvasim and izim to, under the rubric of tzon seems to indicate that they're a single entity for maaser beima. Maaser says, hachanami lema mashma kol dagan. Why don't you say the same thing with regards to tirosh, yitzar, and dagan? Why don't we say the word dagan, which includes all grains, the all grains then should be a single entity. Even though they're kilayim with each other, just like Fasim and Izim are kilayim, but you put them under the rubric of Tzon, so Dagan should take all the five species of grains and say, even though some of them are kilayim one with the other, they should be able to be combined into a single Trumot and Masrot. Amar Abaye Reishitam. The Pasuk says Reishitam, which indicates that they are separate or unique. Each Dagan also has a separate din, which is you have kol chelev yitzar v'chol chelev tirosh. So you have chelev for yitzar, chelev for tirosh, vidagan, which doesn't have any qualifier in front of it. But right afterwards it says reishitam. The word reishitam now teaches you that the dagan also has its own standing, and each one of them has to be kept separate. Which is like you have the word chelev yitzar, chelev tirosh, and reishit dagan, or reishitam of the dagan. Each one of them you have to keep separate. And that's the reason why you have to separate over there for the Dagan. So according to Rashi, the word Reishitam then indicates the Dagan has its own separate requirement for independent species. And Chelev will take care of the Tirosh and Yitzar. Balei Tosafot positive possibility that now Reish Tam takes all that, and you don't need the word chalev at all. And Reish Tam teaches you that ba'al, tirosh, tzar, hentagon, everything has to be separate in terms of the species. So Rabbi Lo has a similar view as Abaye, that the word Reish Tam solves that problem. Rav Amar below Reish Tam nami mashma kol dagan echad lo matzid armai. Says even without that limud of Reish Tam, you can't combine all grains under the rubric of dagan. That is because bishlam ahotam, by the case of my survey ma amrinan vitzon mashma kol tzon. The word tzon means all tzon or echad or one entity. So if you thought that kvasim veizim should be separate, write the following. Just write maser beima, and then I would have known all of these items. You don't have to write bakar vitzon. You could have just written maser beima. Why did the Torah specify bakar vitzon? To teach you that bakar vitzon are problematic with each other, but tzon itself is not problematic. Otherwise, use a much more generic term like beima. And then everything would have been covered by this. Oh, if you wrote Maser Beima, you would think that maybe Maser Beima applies not only to Beima, but also to Chaya, because we've seen earlier in Masechet Chulin that Chaya Bichlal Beima, that Chaya is a subset of Beima, or subsumed under the term Beima. So then you would think you have to give Maser from Chayot also. That wouldn't have been a problem because of Tachat Mikodoshim Gamar. You would have learned out at Gezer Shova, which we already have, which is by the Maser Beima, it says Kol Asher Yavor Tachat Ashovet. The word Tachat appears here. And also by Kodoshim, it says Shiva Yamim Ye Tachat Imo. For 7 days, it has to be with his mother. Yom Hashini V'Hala Yeretzei L'Korban Hashem. On the 8th day, you can bring us a Korban. That's the word Tachat. We have a Gezer Shova between Maser Beima and regular Kodoshim. And we would have learned then, just like regular Kodoshim can only come from a Beima, so too, Maser Beima only comes from a Beima. So had you wanted to write generically, Beimot require Maser Beima, just write the word Beima. Ah, you think then it would include Chaya? No, we have Gzer Shabbat to Kodoshim of Tachat Tachat. That would limit it to Beima. Ba'ati, Bikal V'chomer, Mechadash V'yashan. And then everything we would have known from Chadash V'yashan. Just like you have the four, the Hekesh, between Maser Dagan and Maser Beima, whereby Maser Dagan, it tells you Shana Shana. Each year is separate. And we learn from that that also when it comes to Maser Beima, each year is separate. Then Bakar Betzon, Lomali. Why do you need to tell me about Bakar Betzon? If you tell me about Bakar Betzon, come and tell me they have to keep Bakar and Tzon separate. I can learn that all from a Kal Vachomer. Just write Beima. Beima would include all Behemot. Chaya, no, because of Kodoshim and the Gzer Shava. What about the fact now you have to keep Bakar and Tzon separate? That you learn from a Kal Vachomer. If Chadash V'Yashan, Maser Beima from 2 different years has to be kept separate where it's not Kilayim, then certainly Bakar V'Tzon, where it is Kilayim, keep it separate. So the reason the Torah wrote Bakar V'Tzon has to be for some reason. So that's what the Prabhupada says. What's the reason that I wrote Bakar V'Tzon Lomali? Why did then the Torah write Bakar V'Tzon if you could have done it simply by writing the word Beima to teach you? But Bakar V'Tzon Udei Mitasrim Mizelzeh Al Kvasim V'Izim Mitasrim. To teach you that Bakar Betzon cannot be brought together as Maser, can't be taken in a single corral for Maser, but Kvasim V'Izim can be combined together because of the singular word of Tzon. What Rava points out is that the word Tzon was extraneous in the Pasuk. Bakar Betzon were unnecessary. There must be a reason the Torah wrote them. The reason is to tell you Bakar Betzon can't be combined, but Tzon can be combined. Kvasim V'Izim can be combined. You don't have that by Dagan. Aval Halcha, by the word Dagan, Dagan. How do you not write the word Dagan? If the Pasuk wrote just Tirosh V'Yitzhar, you would have no idea that Dagan is included under the rules of Terumot and Masrot. You can't leave the word Dagan out. And you need to write it, Limut Sharminim. You need it there to exclude all other items, to tell you these are the items that are Chayav in Terumot and Masrot. Otherwise, you're not Chayav in Terumot and Masrot. Had you left out the word Dagan, you wouldn't have known Dagan as opposed to other items. You would just have thought Dagan's like the other items. And it's excluded. So there the word Dagan is necessary. If it's not extraneous, you can't learn. Kol minei Dagan echadu. That all minei Dagan are all one. And therefore you don't even need the word Reish Tam to separate out Dagan. Dagan by itself is not available to give you the same limud that the word Tzon does by Maaser Beima. So that's Rava's solution to the problem. Kemati v'la Ravuna b'reder of Nachman. Ema le'arvo le'bakar betzon. Maybe you should say that the Bakar and Tzon are brought in the Torah. Here, Rava says, oh, Bakar and Tzon were extraneous. It means you don't combine Bakar and Tzon, but you can combine Tzon. Why don't you say that the words Bakar and Tzon were brought over here to teach you? Not that Bakar and Tzon have to be kept separate, but you could be, take off Maaser Behemah from Bakar and Tzon together. Maybe that's why he wrote it. Maybe, right, he didn't have to write. He could have written the word Behemah. Why does it write Bakar and Tzon? To tell you, all Bakar and Tzon could be thrown in the same pool, and they could be all part of the same corral for Maaser Behemah. Rosh says, the question here, he says, just like over here, we don't need the word Reshitam, according to Rava, just like by the case of Dagan, he doesn't use the word Reshitam over here to teach you that the species are separate. He also doesn't have the word Asiri, which we used before to separate between Bakar and Tzon. Therefore, he comes to the possible conclusion that Bakar and Tzon are written to tell you to combine them and not separate them. If you use the word Ha'asiri, which we mentioned before was the way to force you to separate them out, then obviously it's not a question. So Rav Huna's question is premised on this idea that just like Rava doesn't have Reshitam by Tirosh Tzitzar and Dagan, he also doesn't have Asiri by Bakar V'Tzon. Given that, then why don't we say that Bakar V'Tzon means combine Bakar V'Tzon, don't separate them out? And that's Rav Huna's question based on Rava's Shita. The Gemara says, Amalei Marzutra Breda Rav Nachman, the Rava, Itlei Nami Asiri. That's the answer. The answer is that Rava may not have the word Reshitam, but he does have the word Asiri. And we saw before, B'chol Masar Bakar V'Tzon, Ha'asiri Ekodesh. So the Ha'asiri and the Masar together, either Rashi, each one of them separately, or according to Tosafot Ha'asiri, and each one of them tells you that each species that's mentioned in the Pasuk is separate. Igad Amrei Amar Rava, B'lo Asiri, Nami, Lo, Matzit, Amar, Bakar V'Tzon, Mitosrim, Zelzeh. Now we have a different view, that Rava is going to say, even without the word Hasiri, you would have known that Bakar V'Tzon should be separate. Dikish Maaser Behemah, the Maaser Dagan. Because Maaser Behemah has the Hekesh too, Maaser Dagan, Aser Taser. And called Tvat Zarecha, you'd say Asadeh Shana Shana. Ma Maaser Dagan, Mimin, Aushen, Mino, Lo. Just like by Dagan, you can't combine species. Av Maaser Behemah, Mimin, Aushen, Mino, Lo. Then by Maaser Behemah, you would have the same requirement that you don't combine the species. V'ha Rav Huda Amar, didn't we just see in the previous daf, the Rav said, Shana, when it says Shana Shana, means L'Shana Yikashtiv, V'lo L'Davar Acher. The Hekesh is only about time, about the fact that you can't combine Chadash V'Yashan. The Hekesh doesn't work to say that species have to be separate, and that's why we needed a separate limud by Maaser Behemah for separating the species, because we couldn't learn it from the Hekesh. The Hekesh is limited to time, and not to species. Either Mar says, Hadar Bey Rava Mihahi, Rava backed away from that contention that you can't learn it through the Hekesh, and in Achanami you can learn it through the Hekesh, and therefore you don't need the word Hasiri over here, you'll learn it out from Tirosh, Yitzar, and Dagan, and just like over there, the species are separate, so too by Maaser Behemah, they'll be separate, and you don't need the word Hasiri at all. One of these two memorot, Rapapa said, Rapapa was a Talmid Muvak of Rava, he was a Talmid of Bayan Rava, but Talmid of Rava, and then he sent things over in Rava's name. So somebody mistakenly thought when Rapapa said it one time, it was really from Rava when it was from himself. And that way you can have these two different positions. Rava saying before that the Hekesh is only relevant by time, not relevant by species. And also the statement over here, which says that you don't even need the word Hasiri because you can learn it through the Hekesh. One view says that the Hekesh applies even to different species. And one Hekesh says it only applies to time, not other species. So one of them was said by Rava, one said by Rapapa. And therefore, yes, they don't agree with each other, but it's not a self-contradiction. It's not Rava saying both statements, by which then it would be a problem, because he's then taking mutually exclusive positions. That's why the Gemara deals with this statement of Rava, that you don't need a Siri, and you can you learn it through the Hekesh. But before he said the Hekesh isn't available for that, because it only relates to time and not to species. Okay, next Mishnah. Mishnah is trying to address the issue as to how our... what is the definition of a single flock or a single corral to pool the animals together for Maaser Behemah? What happens if you have animals in different cities? Do you then have to combine them because you're under a single ownership? The mission says, Maaser Behemah mitzreif, kamalo regel behemah roeh. The amount of space that, there's two different ways you can read this. Rashi explains here, kamalo regel roeh could be how far animals graze naturally. Or can mean, Kamalo Rego Ro'eh, where it says, how far does the shepherd allow the flock to distance themselves from where he is? The Gemara says, V'kamei rego beima, ro'eh, tet zayin mil. 16 mil is the amount of space between them by which we would consider them to be a single entity. Since either that's the natural grazing grounds of an animal, or because if a ro'eh was watching the animals, he would have be able to keep his eye on the flock for up to 16 mil. That makes it into a single flock. Whether that means literally he needs to be able to see them physically, or whether it means simply that he can exert control over them, even though he may not be able to see them, but he allows them to spread over that period, over that space, because he can still control them over that space. So that gives you the amount that's considered to be a single flock, because that's the combining factor. The factor is, how can you classify them as a flock? If they naturally graze over that area, that means that they're probably a single flock, because they're just distancing, but it's a natural distance. Or if the ro'eh keeps them together, he's the combining factor that keeps them together, and therefore he allows them to distance over 16 mil, that shows you that they're still classified as a single flock, and they can be combined for ma'aser ve'ema. Hayu ben elu leilu lamed bet mil. If there's 32 mil between the different sets of animals, ein mitzdarfim, they do not combine. Hayu lo be'emtza, if he has something in the middle, then maybe umasran be'emtza, then you bring them in, and you combine them together. So the animal or the item in the middle will allow you to combine those that are in one direction and those that are in the other direction. So there's 32 mil between the two ends of the flock, but because there's something in the middle item allows you then to combine the outer two items. Now here there's a machloket rishonim as to whether you have to bring them to the middle. The Rambam says you literally have to bring the animals to the middle in order for them to be combined. Other than Rashi just seems to indicate over here that the middle one is enough to allow you to combine the animals, not that you have to actually physically bring them to the middle in order to do maaser on a joint basis. And the Rabbeinu Gershom has the even more radical opinion, which is that you can only bring those in the side to the middle and combine them to create maaser ve'ema, meaning the ones on the outside to the middle can't be brought in to be combined, but you can't combine the 10 or 5 and 5 from the east and the west because they have more than 16 mil between them. So you can only bring each side into the middle in order to bring them together, but you can't just put the two sides together. You need the middle ones to be included in order to create the single corral for Ma'aser ve'ema. It seems like he's following the Shita of Rav, or Rav's explanation of the Mishnah that we're going to see in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hayardein Mafsik Ma'aser ve'ema, that we'll deal with in tomorrow's daf, that even if you have lesser distances, if the flocks are on two sides of the Jordan River is a natural that separates them despite the lack of distance between them. How do we know that this is the case? Whether that means either how do we know that 16 mil is the defining distance for combining the flocks? Or the question might be even more fundamental. How do you know that you need any distance or any combination of the flocks? Maybe ownership is sufficient to create a combination of flocks. Amar Rav Barshila Damakral, the Pasuk says, Ota borna tzona yedei moneh, that the tzon will pass by the moneh, the one who counts them, meaning the shepherd. So over there you see, first of all, ta borna, which is connected to kol asher yabor tachat hashevet, anybody who goes under the shevet, which is ma'aser ve'ema, and it's determined yedei moneh, by the one who counts them, by the shepherd. So the grazing of the animals, or the shepherding of the animals, is defining as to whether they're considered to be a single corral or a single flock. Or in essence, if they can all be counted by the ro'eh, then they can be brought yavor tachad hashevet, then they can be brought into a single corral or a single flock. So the ro'eh is essential, so the unification of the animals is really dependent on the ability to have them somehow within a single control or supervision, and that's what the pasuk is indicating to us, that that's the determining factor for the unification of different flocks into a single corral. We came to the Rabbanan. And then the Rabbanan told us what that amount is, the shitzar mil, that is 16 mil, kashalta be'ena deroa. Because the roa can keep an eye on the animals over that space. Kimlo the Rabbanan can be either mean that they have a mesorah that is such, or it can mean that they have empirical evidence that it's the such. They know from the shepherds at work that that's what the space is that they can control. Hayu ben elu leilu shloshim u'shnayim mil, ein mitztarfim. Shloshim u'shnayim mil, ein mitztarfim. Habatzim yochem mitztarfim. It's a little strange. The way the Mishnah phrased it, it says, if it's 32 mil, they can't combine. Less than 32 mil, they can't combine. What do you mean, less than 32? Ba'akani tetzayin mil, to pay low. You just told me in the ration, the Mishnah, up to 16, they can combine. Above 16, it doesn't combine. So how do you have something saying, if they're less than 32, they can combine? That's more than 16. Yishum dekabai lemitna seifa. No, that part of the Mishnah is because of the next line in the Mishnah, which is, hayulu be'emtza, meviu masran be'emtza. If you have an animal in the middle or something in the middle, you can combine them. So that's why the latter part of the Mishnah said 32. Didn't say 32 to tell you that less than 32 is going to be okay. Told you 32 because if you get something in the middle, that's going to be 16 and 16 and it's going to work. So for that latter case in the Mishnah, it needed to mention 32. But the basic distance is 16 mil, and even the Sefer believes 16 mil is the number. It mentioned 32 because of the next line of the Mishnah, which is, if you have something in the middle, then you've reduced it to 16 in every direction, and it works. Where it says, Bekama, how does the setup of these emtsa have to be? Amar Rav, Chamesh Mikan, Bechamesh Mikan, Bechamesh Be'emtsa. It has to be 5 in one direction, 5 in the other direction, and 5 in the middle. Why? Because the Hani Chamesh, Chazi Lo'ocha, Bechazi Lo'ocha. Since that middle 5 could combine with the 1 to the east, and it can combine with the 5 to the west, and make up a Meiser Be'ema of 10, therefore it combines with both of them in order to bring them into a single corral, make them into a single flock, and we mechayev you and the other 5 that are on the other side to wait for another 5, and then see if you can get more Meiser Be'ema out of here. But because you have in the middle a number that would combine with either side to reach Meiser Be'ema, that's what creates the single entity. It brings them together. And obviously you only have 15 over here, so you're not going to get 2 sets of Maser. So that's what Rashi says over here. You take off Maser Be'ema from 10 of them. And then there are 5. We'll wait to see if you have other births in your flock, and then they will combine to create the Meiser Be'ema. There'll be a few Meiser Be'ema with those other 5. Once there are an additional 5 to be mitzdareif with them. Shmuel Amar, Afelu v'chemesh mikan v'chemesh mikan v'chet be'etza. Shmuel says you don't need to have 5 in the middle. You can even have 1 in the middle, and that'll combine the 5 on either side. Chazina in the row E, Kiman dekoi hocha, v'karina be'e moneh. Because we look as if the row E is standing in the middle with the 1 in the middle, and therefore now everything is moneh. Everything's under his supervision because everything's within 16 mil of the middle. So even though the Roe is not found in the middle, he's with the 5 on the east, or he's with the 5 in the west, nevertheless, at some point, he's got to go over to that 1 in the middle and deal with the 1 in the middle. Since at some point he will be there, it's as if we deem it as if he's there, and therefore now his scope of control is exerted in every direction 16 mil. That will allow him to combine the 5 to the east and the 5 to the west. That's Shmuel's view. So their machloket is whether that set in the middle has to be sufficiently large to create Meiser Be'ema in both directions. That's Rav's view. Or does it just simply mean that if the Ro'eh has to end up in the middle, then we consider it to be that everything around that radius of 60 mil is under his supervision, and you can combine anything there even though he's not found there currently. Meitavei, Hayalo Chamesh B'Kfar Chananya. He has 5 animals in Kfar Chananya. V'Chamesh B'Kfar Otoni. And then another 5 in this other village. Ein mitzterfot, they do not combine. Achielo achat bitzipori. So he has 1 in Tzipori. From this brayta, it makes it clear what the situation is that these 2 villages have Tzipori sitting between them, the city of Tzipori. So Tzipori is in the middle, 16 mil in one direction is Kfar Chananya, 16 mil in the other direction is Kfar Otoni. So they separately cannot be combined into a single flock. But if you have something in Tzipori, it will combine them. So that would be a tiyufta de Rav. That would be a strong refutation of Rav's position, because it says, Achielo achat bitzipori. You just need 1 in Tzipori. It doesn't say you need 5 in Tzipori. It just says you need 1. Targum Shmuel libid Rav. Shmuel stood up for Rav, or came in defense of Rav's position and said, Gonjayu tesha mikan v'tesha mikan. The Brayta never specifies how many are in the villages. Doesn't say 5 in this village, 5 in that village, and then 1 in Tzipori. It just says, as long as you have 1 in Tzipori, they combine. So it could be the scenario is that you have 9 in the village, 9 in the other village, and then 1 in Tzipori, the Chet Be'emtza. And that works for Rav too, because then the 1 in the middle will combine with each side to get to the number of 10. Because that 1 could combine with the 9 on one side, get to 10, 1 and 9 on the other side, get to 10, and that's why you can combine them. And even though the Brayta itself says in the beginning, Hayalo Chamesh B'Kfar Chananya, Chamesh B'Kfar Otoni, makes it sound that that's the scenario. For the way Shmuel is explaining for rabbis, that's one case. The next case, unless you have a chat b'tzipori, is not dependent on the numbers that were given in the reisha. It's its own numbers. When you say achad tzibori, that's when you have nine on each side. It's not an easy way to read the braita, but nevertheless, it is a way to get Rav out of the problem of the tiyufta. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Uli Shmuel, according to Shmuel, where you don't need the middle one to generate the chiyuv in each direction, you simply need the middle one to get the ro'eh to have to come there at some point, and therefore have his supervision be a radius of 60 mil around, afilu ro'eh mitzarfan. Do you actually need an animal in the middle? You can actually have the ro'eh himself be the one who's in the middle. So if the ro'eh is in Tzipori, and the animals are in the two different villages, then it's going to work, according to Shmuel, because the ro'eh is there. And if he's there already, then 60 mil in each direction is going to be his perspective or his supervision area. But afilu kelav shel ro'eh. Not only is it if the ro'eh is there, even if he leaves his utensils, his sack, whatever he needs that are left there, mitzarfan, it's going to bring them together because he's going to have to go pick up his stuff there. Says he has to go pick up his stuff there. He has to get there. If he has to get there, then that can create the combination that we need over here. Again, according to Shmuel, the ro'eh is the key factor over here. As long as the ro'eh has to end up in a place where he's going to be within 60 mil of all the different flocks, that's enough to generate the combination. And so whether he's there physically without an animal, whether there's an animal there that he has to go get, or whether it's his own utensils that he has to go back and get, whatever will compel him to have to go to that area, or the fact that he's there, will all be sufficient reason to bring them together. By Rav Ashi, kalva d'ro'eh mai. What happens if the shepherd dog is found in that middle location? Kevan d'kari le v'ati lo mitzarfeh. Because if he calls the dog's going to come back to him, so that means he never has to really go there, because the dog will come to him. His kelim, he has to go get them. They're not coming to him unless he goes and gets them. The dog, he can control by bringing him back to him, whistling to him, and having him come back, and never have to go there. Sometimes the dog doesn't listen, or sometimes the dog doesn't return, and he might have to go over there. Is the fact that he might have to go there enough to make it that it is as if he went there, or he'll have to go there, and never it'll combine the animals? Or is it the fact that the dog, in most cases, or at least some of the time, will not need you to go there, you can call him and he'll come back? Therefore, it doesn't combine them. Take it. We leave that as an unresolved issue. Stop here at the two dots at the top of Nunhei Amud Aleph.